spent the summer, Jeremy, contemplating what makes a good teacher. And Florida is working on a formula that would tie teacher pay to student test scores. It's called the value-added model. You examine this in your series. Why?
I think it's important to acknowledge that teachers do add value to students. That's something that happens in the interaction. But the term value-added has become tied up intimately with test scores. And I wanted to go back to what the words actually mean. Value added. I want to look at the ways teachers add value to students' lives. So I talked to teachers and a couple students.
In one of your pieces, you tell the story of a language arts teacher who has some challenging students. One student notices he doesn't get to read novels and normal chapter books. He has a big, clunky textbook with a collection of passages in it. Can you read that section for us?
Yeah, I will. And to be clear, the name of the teacher has been changed here. This starts with what she was understanding that her student was saying to her. This one particular student, and by extension the rest of the class, had noticed that the textbook was a collection of lots of pieces of stories with questions to answer at the end, but was not a real reading experience. No one in the real world carried around a textbook to read. Ms. Roberts explained to me the epiphany she had. What I heard in his voice is, "Why aren't we good enough to read a real book?" Ms. Roberts decided then and there that they would read a novel. She was fortunate to get Mitchell Kaplan from Books and Books to donate over 200 copies of The Bluest Eye by Toni Morrison. Each student got to have their own little book.
What do you take away from that example?
Well, the story goes on to talk about she continued to have difficulty with her students, but this was a moment where she understood that what was happening in the classroom was affecting them, not just their ability to develop as interpreters of literature, but having a textbook was a certain kind of psychological experience for them. It made them feel a certain way. This was something that was hurting them in some way. And so she did something about it. And this was in her first year. And again, this is something that would be almost impossible to measure, probably, based on their standardized test scores.
And I understand we'll be reading more about her in future classroom contemplations. What happens next?
Yeah, well, so the first part of the post was about this notion of adding value. And the second section is going to be about teachers who've decided to leave.
This is one of the teachers who leaves.
Yes, this is one of the teachers who, after, I think, 3 years, and half of teachers now don't make it past 5 years. So she's one of those teachers who left and has gone on to a very successful career in law. And even though the week that I talked to her, she had pulled a couple of all-nighters, she continues to maintain that teaching was much harder, much more intense. The larger question we're really grappling with is how we get good teachers. The first piece is the one everybody seems to focus on, which is how you get rid of bad teachers. The second piece is what you do with mediocre teachers to make them better. And the third is, how do you attract and retain the good teachers?